Hey, good morning, everybody. Come on and have a seat. It's, you know, not too cold January Sunday. It's not too bad. We are going to be looking at what God is going to do new in 2020. And today is part of the sermon and kind of launched off a thought from the Fusion Conference. And today is our prayer and supplication. So I thought, you know, God is actively working in our lives and other people's lives. So in 2002, we ought to be expectant for God to do to work because he's active. And so let's just take a moment in this time of supplication. What's that? What did I say? 2002? Oh, 2020. Thank you. I got the right numbers. Just the right. Yeah. So, maybe just take a moment in supplication. Pray to yourself. You don't have to pray out loud, but just pray to yourself. What are those things in that are bothering you in your own life that you want the Lord to work, or those things that in other people's lives that you're like, oh, I just wish my Aunt Sally would come to Christ, or in whatever the issues are that are on your heart. Just lift up those to the Lord for him to work this year, 2020. All right, and then I'll close this up and we'll worship together. Lift up these prayers of supplication to you because you're the one working in our lives and in other people's lives, Lord. We want to trust you in 2020 to do a great work, Lord, that only you can do. And so we lift these requests up to you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you care about the things that are on our hearts and that you're already working on them, Lord. And we can trust in you and your faithfulness. And we just lift up this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be turned towards you. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand that up and let's worship together.
Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city, reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Barbie, that's a good encouragement. One of the roles of a Christian is to go and teach everyone to obey everything the Lord has commanded. That is good. I have a few announcements for you today. We are very encouraged by the number of people who signed up for our transformational prayer, our TPM training, and this was the first week. It's a self-paced study course, and one of the premises of the whole concept of transformational prayer is based on God's character, that he always wants every person to have the truth, and you can rely on him when you go to him to give you the truth. And it's a way to approach God with the things you're struggling in and do that. So it turns out that some people may not have kept up with their first week's training and may not even be in track of where they are supposed to be. It is possible that person might be doing the announcements. I don't want to be on the list. There's only one list I want to be on. The list of the... Anyway, that's another story. What I asked Janelle to do is, if I know it's the first week and it's a change in pattern, to carve out some time that you're going to work on this. And so if you're a little behind, that's okay. That's where I am too. And we put down on this... in the bulletin is where you should be. So if you haven't had time to catch up on this, if you start this today and work on these, you will be caught up. And so you should be getting emails from Greg if you're on this list on where you should be. If you're not, please send Greg an email. He missed that, or it could be in your spam folder if you're not getting that. Just a follow up there. February 1st. And actually, yesterday was our Saga group. Now, I just realized in going over the bulletin, does anyone know what Saga stands for? You who are in Saga, don't say. Does anyone in the church know what Saga stands for? See, we're all... Look at that. How about that? I was right. So Saga stands for Saturdays at Glen Arbor. And what that is our college and young adult group has an activity every Saturday at 4 o'clock. Yesterday, they made a big meal. They cooked cheeseburgers. And I was out shoveling snow, and I tell you, those were good cheeseburgers. I already had dinner when I came in, but it's a good group. If you know anyone who'd like to be involved or engaged, they have do a lot of fun things. So just a reminder, and it's not in our bulletin yet, we are planning a new format for our GCLI, our Leadership Institute, where we're doing training in the core disciplines core essentials of the Christian faith, and that is happening in mid-March, and so we have all of our churches, six churches in the Midwest, will be gathering here, and we'll have more information on that to come. So that is all of my announcements for today. Thank you for your attention. We're going to have the ushers come forward and take the offering. This is your chance to give back and honor God with your finances.
All right. Good morning. I'm flying a little bit blind this morning, so if if I keep turning around and figure out where we're at. Oh, so that's what we're talking about. Usually I figure out what I'm supposed to say, but, So the older Sunday school class and I have been going through this topic, and so I asked them to sit in today. I know they're very excited about that. Guys, you have had the sneak preview on this stuff. So take some notes and see. You guys are experts on this because we've been talking about it the last couple of days. So let's trust the Lord to continue to grow us in this area. The last couple of weeks, Dean and Greg have been sharing some of the lessons learned from the Fusion Conference. And the reason we did this is because anytime you spend all this kind of time and money to go to a Christian conference, it's important also to reflect on that, what the lessons that the Lord has taught you, to take the time to reflect on that. And for those of you that didn't go to the Fusion Conference, you get the benefit of hearing, you've gotten the benefit of hearing some of how the Lord has taught and inspired Dean and Greg last week's in this. And it's so easy to jump right back into the daily grind and just, you know, you go to the conference, boom, you come back, and boom, everything starts up again. And you don't really give the time to fully process how God is prompting you and how he might want you to respond to his promptings. And so I encourage you, if you haven't had that opportunity, to spend some time with the Lord over what he's been speaking to you about. So today I'm up, but I'm going to do things a little differently as we pivot away from this onto a new series next week. I'm going to basically take a single lesson that I learned at Fusion and then expound upon it in a normal, regular sermon today as we pivot towards the future in 2012 and the next series coming up next week and what God is doing and what we're looking forward to. The story of Fusion that got me thinking was the one from Tom Short, was one of the speakers at Fusion during a couple of the main sessions. And the story was that he was actually a speaker at a sister conference of Fusion, Faith Walkers, down in Asheville, North Carolina, before Fusion. So he did back-to-back conferences. And as Tom was driving to the first conference in Asheville, he called an old mentor friend of his, Herschel Martindale, who's been a pastor for 60-plus years. In fact, Herschel just had his 90th birthday party last fall. Herschel doesn't get out that much. He's facing many health issues. He's at home, but still working in ministry in a sense in what he's able to do with his health issues. But so Tom called Herschel and asked him, you know, hey, how you doing? Just kind of talking, and Tom shared about how when he called Herschel, rather than Herschel just talking about all his struggles of old age, you know, and rather than Herschel doing that, Herschel just shared with Tom how excited he was for the new year ahead. Herschel told Tom that he was looking to a fresh start. He was looking forward to a fresh start and much spiritual fruit this year as he trusted the Lord to continue building into making disciples by building into him in his home as they came and met with him regularly throughout the year. And did you catch that? A 90-year-old frail man said that the first thing on his mind was that he was looking forward to a fresh start in 2020. And I've had the pleasure of hearing Herschel teach a few times in the past, and he's not, you know, your most dynamic speaker. He's not the guy running around the stage yelling, you know, and stuff. But he's usually very quiet. But when he speaks, when I've heard him in the past, every time he's spoken, his enthusiasm for God's work and vision of what God is doing and who God is clearly communicated, and it's very contagious and very inspiring. He exemplifies hope, and I think that's because Herschel understands God's character. He understands God's deep in his heart. He understands God's character and is therefore in anticipation of God's outpouring, of God's love, of God's desire to work in other people's lives, and it's very inspiring. Herschel believes that God is going to do something new. He's looking forward to a fresh start this year. So this morning, that inspired my heart to think about, wow, there are so many verses and so much in the Bible about how God is working and going to do something new. I thought, let's just take a moment and look at that. We've been talking about that in Sunday school class. I shared a little bit at Breaking of Bread a couple weeks ago. And so this morning we're going to be looking at some of these verses about God's active work and promises of God's work this year as we look forward to 2020. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Father, I just ask that you would inspire my heart, Lord, inspire everybody's heart here this morning, Lord, that we would see and our eyes would be lifted up to see the great work and active work that you're doing, God, all around us, and that you plan to do this year, Lord. Help us to see that we're not alone, that you're with us, and you're involved in this world, Lord, and your work. And inspire our hearts today, Lord. We lift this time up to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't have notes, there's some in the back. We'll be going over some application, but all the applications are in the notes, too, so you can take those home with you. God is doing something new. Isaiah 43, we actually used to sing this verse, where it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new." This is God speaking. "Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it?" Now God's talking to the Israelites through Isaiah, and the context here is the nation of Israel had constantly been, you know, disobeying the Lord and falling away and then repenting and then coming back and sinning and falling away. And, I mean, it was just their lives of following God were messy. They had a messy history and track record of following the Lord. And on top of that, Isaiah was also prophesizing about how they are going to be increased hardship in their future, you know, that with the Babylonian conquest and domination that was coming. And so here in chapter 43, God is reminding them that despite what's to come, despite the hardships that are to come, and despite the fact that you guys have just really messed up over and over again and lived a messy life, spiritually speaking, despite all that, God is saying, "You're still my people. You're still my people. And I'm still your God, and I'm still God, and I'm still an active God." And that's the context of these verses here in Isaiah 43:18-19. He had worked mightily in the nation of Israel in the past, and in fact before this he shared some of the things that he had done in the past. And here he says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things in the past." In other words, forget about that stuff. Yeah, that's, I did work then, but forget about that stuff, because I'm going to do something new, and it's going to blow you away what I'm going to do. I am going to do something new. He's basically saying, like, you know, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything of what is to come, of what I'm going to be doing. Just as God was active in their past, he would be active in their future. And this was a promise of hope for them. And you see that same thread in many places in the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament as well. The hope that we have in Christ and God working, that what he's going to do in the future, and the hope that we have. And it started with the day of our salvation, when we came to Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." So we walk in this newness of life, and our active God is working in a new way in our life than he was before we came to Christ. And just like with Israel so long ago, it's something you can hold on to. That's a promise you can hold on to, that despite your sin, despite your messy life as a Christian of following God, you know, despite that, he's going to be doing something new with you as well. And despite the hardships that you're facing in 2020, despite what's to come, the trials that you're going to be going through, God is still here and he's still active no matter what you're facing. And he's going to be doing something new. It says even that it'll spring forth. It'll spring forth. In other words, it will kind of be a surprise, or it's going to spring forth the new things that the Lord will do. And then he tells the people of Israel, "Will you not be aware of it?" In other words, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Lift your eyes up in anticipation of what God is going to do. Now, we have this dog, you know, named Luna, this little hyper lab. And whenever one of us comes home, Luna runs up, you know, and if we're driving in the driveway, she runs up to the fence, you know, and looks. And or if we come in the house, she just kind of, wherever she is in the house, she runs down and sees you and wants to be petted and everything. And then she just, her eyes are glued to us, you know. when we first walk in the door, and then after a moment, she looks around and she runs and finds a tug toy and brings it back, and it's like just stands there with a tug toy in her mouth, just looking at us in anticipation. Will you play with me? Are you going to play with me? You know, and so she stands there in hope, you know, and her tail is wagging of what we might do. She's just waiting. She's just in anticipation. And I thought about that. Do we have that same kind of anticipation with God, you know, out of deep conviction and hope that God is going to be doing something new? And God says it'll spring forth. Are we looking for it? Are we waiting there? Tails wagging, you know, for God to do something. Are we excited about the new things that God might do this year, you know, that God might reach down, just tug that toy for, you know? But whatever God is going to do, are we in anticipation of it? It's funny, in our society, we talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't know, has anyone made a New Year's resolution? I've got some things, that rumblings inside that I want to change this year. You know, we all do. We think, it's a new year, and we have these thoughts, and the Lord leads us in different ways of making changes in our life. And I was thinking about it this week. New Year's resolutions are really all about things that we're going to do. They're all about things that we're going to change, things that we're going to do differently this coming year. And I thought about, shouldn't first and foremost, as Christians, we be curious about what are the new things that God has planned? What are the new things that God is going to do? What is the new things that God's going to change or work this year, 2020? What changes does he want? A pastor and author, Pete Scazzaro, who we had the privilege of hearing last spring at Pastor's Conference. He had written about a bunch of books about spiritually healthy Christianity or emotionally healthy spirituality. That's what it is. Right. And anyway, one of his quotes is, let's face it, he says, we all want a spiritual life, but we prefer to be in charge of it. Right? We all want a spiritual life, but we prefer to be in charge of it and have it unfold according to our schedule. You know, we want to plan it out, okay? This year, we're going to grow in this way, you know, it's such and so. But God has a plan, and he's not executing our plan. He's executing his plan. He is giving, and he's given us persistent promises of the new things that he is going to do. He is going to do new things, and the question is, will we get on board with those things that he is doing? So the application here is to lift up our eyes, to be aware of what God is doing, to pray regularly, to see the new things that God is doing, and to resolve to walk in them. God is doing something new. God is doing something new also in other people specifically. And we'll dive down a little bit in this. We were just at a pastor wives getaway. It was like 2 weeks after Fusion. We're all like, but it was still very nice and refreshing. Over MLK Day, so we went Sunday night and came back Monday night, and got together with some of the guys and their wives and had a good time together. But we heard a lot of encouraging stories of God at work in other people. You know, God is at work in other people, and it's encouraging to hear the stories. Tom Biang down at Purdue was sharing a story about a guy who used to be tight with their church but fell away. And many years ago, in fact, a lot of us know this guy. Many years ago, this guy actually spent the summer living in our basement here in Glen Arbor, along with other college guys. They were up here for like a summer leadership training thing that I think Chris Biang was running, and they lived in our basement. And anyway, after the guy graduated, he kind of had a spiritual crisis and decided not to follow God and left their church and just pursued typical worldly life. And that's the last we heard of him. That was years ago. But just recently, Tom said he just got an email from this guy. And the guy said he realized the error in his ways now that he's had several years of living life without God. And he realized that he just made selfish, sinful decisions, you know, out of selfish, sinful desires and walked away. And he realized it was a mistake. I don't know what God's going to do with that, where that's going to go. Is he going to get back on board with following Christ now? We don't know. But praise God. God is doing something new in this guy's life. And for many of us, we haven't even thought about this guy for years and years. We've had zero contacts, you know, zero influence, zero involvement, and yet God was continuing all that time to work in his life, to pursue him. The Apostle Paul understood this ongoing work when he wrote, "For I am confident..." "I am confident of this very thing," Paul wrote, "that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began a good work in you, who began the good work in us? God. God began the good work in us. You know, we see that all throughout Scripture about conversion, about coming to Christ. I was looking up some of the verses, like in John 16, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is active in the world, convicting unbelievers of their sin. The Holy Spirit is working, is pursuing people, convicting them of their sin. Jesus said in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and save the lost. He was pursuing the lost to seek and to save them. John 6:44 says the Father is drawing people to Jesus Christ, that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws them. The Father is pursuing people and drawing them to Christ. So all three persons of the Trinity are united in the single purpose in pursuit of bringing people to faith. But it doesn't just stop there, because Paul says not only did God begin a good work in you, but he'll perfect it. And that means other translations interpret that as will carry it on or continue it. Will continue it. You came to Christ and God did that, and now he's going to continue working in your life, continue growing you spiritually, carrying on that work that he began. And that's a promise that you can hold on to, that will happen in other people's lives, and that will happen in your own life as well. God will carry on his work in other believers' lives. Isn't that a relief? You know, it's not up to us. You know, we fail so miserably at helping people, you know, but God doesn't. And this is a promise that you can hold on to, that God is continuing to work in those people's lives that you care about, your loved ones, friends, etc. We influence others, you know. We can build into others. We inspire others, but it's God's work, and he's carrying it on. Spiritual work in the life of people is all God, all the time. The initiation, the continuation, and then finally, the conclusion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's when Christ will return, the day that Christ will return. You cannot make your friends grow spiritually. You cannot make your relatives grow spiritually. It's out of your control. You know, we don't like that as Americans. We want to have control, you know. We like control, but spiritual growth is out of our control because it's God's work. Parents, you know, we really have no control over our kids' spiritual growth. We have tremendous influence and tremendous opportunity, but it's out of our control because it's God's work. But we can have confidence in someone who does have control, and that is God. And we have confidence that God is working in our kids' lives, our relatives' lives, our friends' lives, those that we care about, those that we want to grow in you. God is at work. One pastor at Fusion was sharing during one of his seminars how his mother's health had taken a severe turn to the worse. Right after Fusion, he was driving right out to see her, and she had passed away. And it was a tough time for him, but one of his sons, who had fallen away from following the Lord, had called him up then during that time period. You know, I think it was during Fusion or right before Fusion, and was really shaken up about his grandmother's health issues. And the particular son told his dad that grandma's health crisis had really turned him to want to sit down with his dad and talk through some of the issues that he has. You know, so praise the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord. See, this wasn't the dad's work in his son's life. This was God's work in using this hardship, this trial, to turn this boy's heart back to wanting to readdress following God. God's work. God using a trial in people's lives. God is working more than we know to turn people to Christ, to restore them, those who have fallen away, to continue the work of growing them in the faith. Amen? God is active. He is doing new stuff in other people's lives. Paul said when they had an issue in the Corinthians, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has caused the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Really? Anything? Aren't we something? You know. Well, not relative to the growth in people's lives. That's all God. God's the one that causes the growth. You know, do we believe this? Do we understand that we're to give all credit to God for people's spiritual growth? You know, yet what this verse also shows in this whole chapter is that we do participate in God's work. In fact, later in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says that we're God's fellow workers. We get the opportunity to participate in his work, to plant, to water, so that God can cause growth. And those of you that help teach kids at Awana, or those of you that run a Bible study or small group, or just those of you that just spiritually encourage each other one-on-one in whatever ways you do, you can be confident that God is going to use your planting, is going to use your watering in people's lives and their hearts. You know, when you one example I thought about was, since Greg brought up Barbara's seminar last week, you know, the Lord had prompted Barbara to give the seminar fusion, and that had never happened before, but she felt the Lord leading her to do that, and spent the a couple months getting it together, getting the seminar together, and then presented the seminar. And, you know, it'd be easy to think, you know, okay, well, I did what I think the Lord would have me do, but I don't know if anything came out of it, you know. But the next day, maybe even the same day, some young adult came up to Barbara and said, oh, my friend went to your seminar, and she was so excited. She told me about this with a T, and this with an I, and this with an M, and this with an E. So that was neat, that first of all, the person that attended the seminar caught it and then shared it with someone else, and that third party was able to actually remember it and share it back with Barbara again. It was like, wow, people do listen, you know. And then even just recently, some young mother shared with Barbara how she was trying to implement those things into her life now, and build, you know, to focus on the priority of relationship in her household with her kids. So praise the Lord. The Lord does do things. You know, when you're sitting there in Awana with your little Sparkies trying to help them learn a verse, you wonder, is this doing anything? You know, are these cubbies even listening to me? You know. But you are planting, you are watering, and the Lord uses that work. It's the Lord's work, and he uses it. We're God's fellow workers, praise the Lord. But he is at work, doing new things whenever we plant and water. So the application here is to be confident and trust in God to work in other people. Pray for others. Don't lose hope. Be confident and be expectant for the Lord to work. Don't be surprised when he works, because he is working. And when you see that fruit, just be, wow, awesome. I knew that he was going to do that. Yeah. He was going to do something. So that's the application there. The third area is that God is going to do something new also in you personally this year, 2020. This is a new year, a fresh start, as Herschel said, a new year for you personally. And we have so many promises from the Lord. Here's one in Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You know, we can sometimes think that God is like static, like waiting for us. We do something, then he's going to do something. We do something, we plan, you know, the planning. We plan to change in this area, and then God will help us change, you know. And but God's dynamic. He is working in you now and will throughout 2020. He's working in you now to will and to act according to his good purposes. Even when you're distracted, God is going to be working on these things in your heart. Even when you're busy, God is going to be working on these things. Even when you're apathetic, God is working on these things in your heart. He's working to get to for your will. In other words, he's working in you to will, to give you the desire to do what pleases him. Even when we don't desire it ourselves, he's going to work in our will to give us that desire, and he's working in us to act. In other words, to give us the ability to do what pleases him. Even when we don't have the ability, the Lord will work in us to will and to act. He's not static. He's active. He's not a responder. He's an initiator. He's not waiting for your call. He is calling you actively. One of pastors at another one of the pastors at Purdue, Fred Douglas, we've known for a long time. He's been known to, when he sees people, you know, that he hasn't seen for a while, he'll say, good to see you. What is God doing with you lately? What's God doing new in you this week? You know, and it's a question with a presupposition, isn't it? It's a question that presupposes that God is working. He has that conviction that God is doing something. And so if you answer it, nothing, Fred. Yeah. Then that doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything. That just means that we're not looking for it. We're not seeing it because God is doing something with us. Are we seeing it? Are we looking for it? Because God is doing stuff. Paul summarized it this way. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day in 2020, God is going to be renewing you inwardly, your spirit. He's going to be active this year in you day by day. And so the application here is to ask God what he is doing in your life. Spend time in quiet with the Lord over his work in your life. You know, if we don't spend time with the Lord in quiet, just listening, we're just going to have our agenda, you know. But if we spend that time with the Lord, ask him what he's doing in our life, and then resolve to respond and cooperate with him, you'll be amazed at what you see the Lord doing in and through you and around you and other people's lives. Spend that time with the Lord and find out what he's doing. In closing, God is doing something new. There we go. Not time for the verse yet. God is doing something new in 2020. He's will be doing something new in other people's lives. He's going to be doing something new in your life. So let's look forward to it. Let's be aware of God's work, be expectant of God's work, and resolve to cooperate with him. It's going to be a good year in the Lord. Amen? It's going to be a good year in the Lord, and trusting the Lord in his faithfulness. This verse, the Lord's, in Lamentations, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Maybe we just take a moment, bow your heads in personal prayer, and just think about this verse, that the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. They never cease. They never run out. They're never exhausted, the Lord's loving kindnesses. His compassions never fail. No matter what you've done, his compassions don't fail you. They don't fail. His compassionate heart is big enough to, for whatever is going on in your life, all the hardships, and they're new every morning. Imagine God's loving kindness, his compassions. Just imagine waking up in the morning, his loving kindnesses, his compassions are there for you that day, every morning. He's so faithful. He's such a faithful God. Just take a moment, pray to the Lord about these things personally, about looking forward expectantly to what God is doing and resolving to cooperate with that he's going to do something new. Just talk to the Lord for a moment as we close here. Amen. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series called A Call to Action. And this new series is all about the follow-up to this message. It's all about our cooperation with God's work, you know. And God wants our involvement, but it starts with us trusting and in Him and His active work. And then this new series is going to be going over what God is calling us to do to cooperate and be involved in that. And so we look forward to that new series coming up. Why don't we all stand together and we'll worship the Lord in closing prayer.